Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's going on, guys? Before we get started with this next episode of the Fistful of Cash podcast, I want to remind you that this episode, like all episodes, is brought to you by Stay Classy Meats. Go to stayclassymeats.com. Use promo code FIST for 10% off your entire order. Order before Thursday the 16th and get all of your stuff in time for Memorial Day. They got everything from free-range bison, elk, beef, chicken, you name it, they got it. Go to stayclassymeats.com. Get premium, high-quality meat for you and your family at affordable prices. Use promo code FIST and make it even more affordable. Get 10% off the entire thing. Without further ado, let's get into the newest episode. Thanks.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from coast of the Carolinas by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time! Introducing the Fistful of Cash podcast!
What is going on, guys? You are tuned in to the newest edition of the Fistful of Cash podcast. We are doing things differently yet again, recording earlier in the week, in here with the co-host with the Moses Suit. What's going on, brother?
Nothing much. The Lakers are what's going on. Actually, the Pelicans are what's going on.
Yeah.
They were going to trade Anthony Davis for they wanted the package AD for Zion as long as Zion didn't go to the Knicks. Every other team was basically in for it. But the Pelicans ended up getting the first overall pick, so they might get the best of both worlds. And the Lakers squeaked into the top four with a 5% chance. Memphis squeaked in, and the Knicks, the Suns, the Hawks, and the Cavs all got screwed, and I love it. Every second of it, I love it.
I gotta love the lottery. Anytime the Knicks or the Cavs get screwed is all right by me. I don't particularly care for either one of those franchises.
No, not at all. And New York's got to be livid, but I think it's hilarious. They were basically already counting Zion, Kyrie, and possibly Kevin Durant. But yeah, that's not looking too hot now. So Boston's going to suck next year. I know that.
Yeah. I just read a thing that Rozier's thinking about, leaving.
Oh yeah. He said he's out. If they bring the same team back, AKA if they bring Kyrie Irving back, he's out.
Yeah.
Nobody there outside of Gordon Hayward gets along with Kyrie. So which is a shame.
Are we having a LeBron style situation here where Kyrie is the problem whatever team he's on?
I think it's it's a lot of young guys, and Kyrie was in the I'm a championship caliber player. Why are we not winning titles? Why are we not even getting out of the East mentality?
Right.
So Kyrie's a hell of a player. He really is. And you can definitely build a team around him. I think he just wants to win. I mean, I think the guy just has a pure passion for winning. And when you have a guy like that, it's tough to play with because he's always on your ass about what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would love to see Kyrie win without LeBron.
Right.
But as long as Steph and KD are on the same team, it's not going to happen.
Almost like Kobe winning without Shaq.
Yeah. Well, Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's, I mean, the difference is Kobe's Kobe and Kyrie's Kyrie.
I know, but people may, you know, it's the same bogus argument about, you know, oh, Kobe couldn't win without Shaq. You know what? Was there ever a player surrounded with more superstars than Shaq?
Michael, that's about it.
So,
yeah.
My point is, I
saw this today. Let me pull it up real quick. I want to make sure I get the numbers right. Okay, so
Kobe won with Smush Parker. Let me just get that out.
Kobe made the playoffs with Smush Parker and Luke Walton. So let's just clear that up real quick. Damian Lillard will face more All-NBA first and second team players in the West these playoffs than LeBron faced in the East between 2011 and 2018.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure
it just shows you that the Western Conference and the NBA is so stacked. It's right. So Dame had to go up against Brody and Paul George, and then he had to go up against Joker, and now he's got Draymond, KD, Steph, and Klay Thompson. So we're talking, what, 7 All-NBA first or second teamers?
Right.
You're telling me in the 7 years of LeBron's playoffs in the East, he didn't play 7 All-NBA first or second teamers?
I guess when you put it like that, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Like, but hey, I mean, that's why he's only won, what's he got, 3 rings? That's why he lost to the West 6 times. I mean, you can beat up on the East all you want, but when you get to the West, it's a different ballgame. It's a different beast.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, man. I just, the more I see Kyrie play at different teams and they seem to have issues, it just makes me wonder, you know, what the underlying issue could be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Some guys are just assholes, and that might be the case. Kyrie might just be a douchebag. So, and I think, you know, Kyrie being an alpha and LeBron being a beta, but LeBron wanting to be the alpha, that didn't work right. out well. didn't mix. So
he is a beta. That's funny. All right, let's get in. We got fights this weekend, man. It's going to take a lot out of me to like really make me see. We're super pumped up, man. We got fights this weekend, brother. UFC on ESPN Plus 2, Rafael Dos Anjos taking on Kevin Lee. That's about as much excitement as I can muster for this main event, man. I'm not over the moon about this card by any means. Get me hyped up for this, man. Sell me on this card.
Felicia Spencer versus Megan Anderson.
Dude, I'm in. I'm freaking in.
There you go. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's get that. Short fuse Ed Herman versus the best damn mustache on the planet, Cummins.
That's true. Fun fact about Felicia Spencer, her nickname, Phenom, spelled F-E-E-N-O-M.
Creative. Very clever.
Yeah. We'll play on words there. Using the spelling of her name. I like that. Look, 6-0 coming off quality victories over Pam Sorensen and Helena Kalinskit. She's whatever, man. All right. Let's get into this card. You know what? This is a card. I'm gonna say this now. And this is the Barry Bond style asterisk. This will be a card where we will go perfect or
winless.
So everybody, if you've been like, hey, I've been betting heavy with NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, fighting, we are on a hot streak. We are absolutely on a hot streak. However, if you want to take a weekend off, might I suggest this weekend, but I want you to play these picks because I'm going to play these picks because I'm a degenerate like that. So this is what we're going to do. Let's break down the main card like we always do. First fight on the card, Austin Hubbard taking on Davi Ramos. Hubbard 9-2, Davi Ramos 9-2. I can feel your energy through this. Davi Ramos, a minus 450. Yes. Austin Hubbard coming back, plus 325. Do you have anything with this fight?
Austin Hubbard's 4 inches taller.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing about Davi Ramos. Now, I mean, listen, the guy is a submission ace. If he's going to beat you, that's how he's going to do it. My concern with him, though, comes in with the gas tank because he's built like a brick shit house. Austin Hubbard, on the other hand, you know, is just a dude that's just in good shape, coming off a win in LFA against Kilis Mota. Not exactly quality wins here. I think the odds makers have this one right. I'd be shocked, man. I mean, I'd really be shocked if he was able to upset Davi Ramos. If he does, it's going to have to be by knockout. There's no way he's beating him. He's not submitting him, and he's not going to take him the distance. I think Davi Ramos is going to snatch him up here pretty quick and get this thing done. Minus 450. I see zero value in this fight.
All right, so I found some value. If someone can find it, because it's not offered on my book, if someone can find Davi Ramos by rear naked choke.
Okay.
Four of his last five wins are rear naked choke.
Well, I think playing him just by submission should be the play. Just
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'll probably drop it to like a minus, probably like -250 or something like that. It's still going to be, I mean, he's still going to be a huge favorite to win by submission. But if you can find like specific submissions and you get the rear naked, you might get plus money on that. Right. I don't know. But that's just, if someone finds that, shoot us a message, let us know. Cause that's, I mean, if you got, you know, four of your last five wins are by rear naked, I would imagine that the odds on that being the result of this fight are pretty high. Yeah.
So I think Davi Ramos inside the distance is a play. When that comes out, that'll bring it down a little bit. And then if you can find it by submission, that'll bring it down a little bit more. And then if you can go specific enough, like rear naked, like you said, I think that's a great play. But one submission artist on to the next here, Charles Oliveira taking on Nick Lentz. My opinion, and I've said this on the show before, worst nickname in the game, Charles Oliveira. Just a horrible nickname. Du Bronx. Don't understand it. But that means that's just a weird Brazilian thing, I guess. Taking on one of the best nicknames in the game, though. The Carney. Nick Lentz. Nick Lentz, 29-9-2. Charles Oliveira, 26-8. Dude, an absolute wealth of experience between these two guys. However, they do have some mutual experience against one another, which is why Charles Oliveira coming in at minus 360, Nick Lentz coming back plus 270. You know, these guys have fought before, and Charles Oliveira was successful both times they fought. Charles Oliveira is currently on a four-fight win streak with wins over David Tamer, Jim Miller, Christos Giagos, and Clay Guida, all by submission. What do you think here, man?
I said it earlier. I think I'd like taking a flyer on Nick Lentz here. Yes, you said Charles Oliveira has won both their fights. We were actually at their first fight at the Pat Barry Czech Congo UFC on Versus 4 in Pittsburgh. And from what I remember, I feel like it was a pretty even fight until Oliveira threw a knee to Nick Lentz's head while both his knees were on the ground. For some odd reason, it wasn't called during the fight, and he ended up going on to win by rear naked choke shortly later. I think it was like 30 or 40 seconds later. It ended up getting overturned. It ended up being a no contest when they actually went back and saw the knee. And then he submitted him. He submitted him back in 2015. Since then, I feel like Nick Lentz has actually come a long way. He's 6-2 since then. His losses are to David Tamer.
Islam. He lost to Islam too.
But I guess Charles Oliveira has the quality of opponent. He's fought a lot higher quality guy.
I think it might be worth it. In a card like this, where you're going to be scratching for value, I think the Nick Lentz play at +270 is worth it. I mean, it's got to be difficult, I would imagine, to beat a guy three times. And I'm not sure of any other triplicate fights in the UFC where one guy won all three. I know that Jacare fought Chris Camozzi twice, right? And then, or maybe, I don't think he fought him three times. And then Derek Brunson and Jacare have fought twice. So I'm trying to think of a time where it was a three-peat and the same guy won all three times. What a Frank Yeager beat BJ three times? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Because Rich Franklin only Rich Franklin only lost to Anderson Silva twice. Anderson Silva beat Chael Sonnen twice. Right. I know that.
Yeah, you don't see the triplicate very often.
We will eventually when John Jones fights DC. But
you calling your shot here?
I mean, come on.
Dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's going to be hard to beat the GOAT three times. It's going to be hard. Just saying. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think it's worth it. Plus 270. Why not? I mean, give it a shot. You know, there's no, I mean, I don't see the harm. I don't see the harm in it. You know, like I said, on a card like this, where it's going to be hard to find value, why not? So I'll take Nick Lentz. Yeah. Sure. Why not? Oliveira is susceptible to the, you know, little guillotine choke. And Nick Lentz has got a great one. So we'll see. You know, you never know. So I'm looking at this BJ Penn thing real quick. Yes. Frankie Edgar beat BJ Penn three times. I knew there was another one. I could feel it.
That makes sense. That's why he's getting the Max Holloway fight rather than, Volkanovski.
Yeah. Well, he could, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, listen, BB. It's funny. Oh man. Yeah, it's so wild that's what's happening. But, I mean, what are you going to do? I have no idea. You know, flip side is that BJ is, or not, sorry, that Frankie has fought Jose twice, and Jose beat him and both times. So it would stand to reason that if Frankie Edgar, or when Frankie Edgar loses against Max Holloway, he would be in line to fight Jose for a third time while Volkanovski gets that title shot. And Brian Ortega will come back mm-hmm. and fight. Oh boy, who do you have Brian Ortega fight?
That's what I'm saying. I have no idea.
I don't know. He's been out for so long since that Max Holloway thing. I don't even know who you have him fight once he comes back. You know? Zabit? How's that for a fight? Brian Ortega versus Zabit Renato or Moicano, rather.
Dude, I hope Zabit keeps winning because I would love to see at some point. I would love to see Holloway and Zabit. I think that would be, I think Holloway would win the fight, but I think that would be an extremely entertaining fight.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I like that a lot, actually. Okay, all right. Let's see. Let's keep it moving here. We're gonna take Nick Lentz plus 270. Is that correct? All right, let me see what we got next. I think we got the chick fight next. Let me pull up the odds for it. I navigated away. Megan Anderson, 9-3, taking on Felicia the Phenom Spencer at 6-0. You know, this should be a victory running away for Megan Anderson. It really should. And the odds makers have this fight surprisingly close. -155 for Megan and +125 for Felicia Spencer.
Yeah, this is honest. I mean, I know we say we don't bet women's MMA, but I think this is, as from a betting aspect, I think this is my favorite fight on this card. I that's crazy. It really is. But I just, Megan Anderson is a big 145. She's 6 foot or 6'1". Like she's a tall girl. And this Felicia Phenom Spencer, 5'6".
First ball, bad body too.
Joof. And Megan Anderson is first team all she's tight body.
Yeah, she's like straight ripped. Sinew. Like she looks like a compound bow that's just pulled
to maximum tightness and she's ready to just explode.
I'm gonna throw this out here real quick. For anybody who's listening for the first time, we sound like two people who have no idea anything about mixed martial arts right now, just talking about bad body versus good
That's
body.
True.
We're taking
That's true.
Good
we
body.
Do sound like we don't have any idea what we're talking about. I assure you that we do. You know, Megan Anderson, realistically, I mean, it's the thing with her is it's hard for her to get a fight in UFC. All of her opponents keep dropping out. And then when she does get the fight, you know, she's only been in the UFC since 2017. In June of 18, she lost to Holly Holm in a big lopsided unanimous decision. And then the next time she got the fight was in December, you know, right before the New Year's card, when she almost kicked Kat Zingano's eye out of her face. So, you know, we haven't really seen a whole lot of octagon time with her. I just have to believe coming out of the camp that she comes out of, you know, she's trained by James Krause. She is a good quality women's featherweight. She's long, she's rangy, she's got good fundamentals. I just don't see this Felicia Spencer woman coming in and being able to impose that 5'6" frame on 6'0" or, you know, six foot even Megan Anderson. I just don't see it, man. Fun fact, though, just going to throw this out here because I just see it right now. Felicia Spencer and I have the same birthday.
Oh, so she was born a loser. Got it.
That's ice cold. That's ice cold. You're a jerk. I don't even want to do this podcast anymore. All right. Megan Anderson, 155. Not quite max bet, but don't be afraid to bet it heavy. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I like that, honestly.
All right. So Megan Anderson, Nick Lentz, and who was the other dude we took? I'm trying to keep track of all these guys. Oh, Davi Ramos. Yeah, that inside the distance. Davi Ramos inside the distance. All right. Moving on. Good. Sorry.
No, you're good. I'm sorry.
Right. So moving on.
Go ahead.
Ian Heinsch taking on Antonio Carlos Jr. Heinisch coming in at 12-1, Carlos Jr. at 10-2. Going to be a good fight, man. And oddsmakers have it at Carlos Jr. at a minus 200 and Heinisch at a plus 160. I like Heinisch at plus 160. I think that's a good play.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I'm not familiar with either one of these guys.
Gotcha.
So
realistically, I mean, what we're looking at here is just a matter of, you know, Carlos Jr. He has a good record. He has fought the guy that, or Heinisch rather, has fought a guy that's very similar to Carlos Jr. in that he recently won a unanimous decision against Cesar Mutante Ferreira, which him and Antonio Carlos Jr. are pretty much interchangeable as far as I'm concerned as far as Brazilian fighters go. But we're talking about a guy that's got three out of his last four wins are coming via knockout. And then against a quality opponent that is basically mirrors Antonio Carlos Jr., he won a unanimous decision. I think at 12-1, even though a lot of his experience is in LFA, he's only got two fights inside the UFC. I think that, you know, I think that he's got the pop in his punches to get it done here. Where he's going to have to be cautious is with Carlos Jr.'s ground game. He's going to have to really make himself elusive in that sense and avoid the takedown, because Carlos Jr. just recently has rattled off three submission wins in a row over Tim Bosch, Jack Marshman, and Eric Spicely. Not the most high caliber opponents that you've ever heard somebody be listed off as winning three submissions against. You know, but you're looking at a guy that's coming off of a year long layoff. Last time Carlos Jr. fought was in 2018, actually April of 2018, where he submitted Tim Bosch. He's been off since then. You know, winner of five straight, but he hasn't fought for a year. I think that Heinisch could get in here, crack him early before he gets accustomed to the speed again, and sneak out of there with a win, dude. Plus 160. I'm going to play Heinisch here. All right.
That works for me. You convinced me. Right. I mean, I'm sold. I learned more about these two guys in 45 seconds than I ever imagined I would.
Now you know. So all right. You're going to have to fill me in here because you're the guy. You're the man with the plan and the stats on this. Vicente Luque lost his opponent at the last second. Neil Magny due to a USADA pop. Neil Magny. He's claiming tainted supplement. I hope that's the case. Neil Magny's always been a pretty straight up dude when it comes to USADA and like advocating for them and being one of the big proponents of what they do in the UFC. So it's wild to me that he get popped taking something. Hopefully it comes through that, you know, he just, you know, got his a tainted supplement somewhere. Who knows? But Vicente Luque is going to be taking on, what's his cat's name?
Derek. Yeah. D-Rock. No,
I know
Krantz.
Nothing about this guy. Nothing. Luque's 14-6, 6-1 though.
Coming in at 24-10, 31 years young. And he's ranked the number 137th best welterweight in the world. So definitely co-main.
Put Greg Hardy in a main event. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. But here we go. So he's got really impressive wins over Justin Patterson, Charles Hayward at Rite of Passage 5.
Are you kidding
me? Cassius Kane.
Are you naming real people or video game characters? Just be honest. Like, let me find out that like these are like the new characters from the new like Tyson Punch Out, or these are villains from like Streets of Rage.
Boom, here we go.
Okay.
He has a quality opponent. He made it to the second round against
when?
Dustin Poirier.
In like 1997? Wow.
2010. He lost by
not in the UFC.
To
had to be
Poirier.
In like what, Louisiana jungle fight? What was it?
Yeah, I mean, Poirier was 5-0 at the time.
You know what? That was probably in like there was a what was the documentary that was about Poirier way back when? It was like him and some other fighters. I can't remember what it was in or what he was in. But anyway, maybe
dude, he fought Rich Clemente.
Did he beat Rich?
This dude, what I'm talking about. No,
David Silver. All right.
Did you say Louisiana jungle fights? Okay, he lost to Rich Clemente at the Louisiana regional.
Oh my gosh, something like Bayou Brawl 11 or something like that. Oh my gosh, dude. I can't with these guys. Oh man, this is like, they literally, the fact that this dude was even available is a telltale sign of how bad this mismatch is going to be. Because if he was even worth half of what a professional fighter was worth, he'd be signed to Bellator. You know what I mean? Like, cause Bellator will like put people on their pro debuts. Like that, there's no way. When was the last time this guy fought? Do you have his record up? When was the last time he fought?
Yep, give me one second here. His last fight, I was watching the Dustin Poirier armbar over him. His last fight was
So March, he's in fight 29th shape. Of this did he year. Win that fight?
He's in fight shape. He did. He's got on it. A four fight win streak, and he's won. Geez, eight. He's won 11 of his last 12.
He's coming into his prime. So you're looking at a prime Prance taking on Vicente Luque. Luque's coming off a huge brawl with Brian Barberena, took a lot of shots in that fight. You got stats on how many knockouts this dude has? I'm trying to sell myself on this fight. I'm trying to get really hyped up about it here.
Right. Okay, so his last fight was a TKO. Before that, TKO. Split decision, unanimous decision. His only loss was a split decision in his last 12. Another TKO. Win by rear naked choke. TKO. Ooh. Little Von Flu choke over Daniel Roberts. So he's versatile.
Do we have odds on this fight yet? I don't think there's odds out. Man. I don't think they are.
He's got a win by Darce choke.
Hold on a second. Dude, is this?
I don't know, man.
They still got Matt. All right, so all I'm seeing is Magny listed at +375. I need,
and Right. So this dude's got to be like, I need a
line. Give me a line. Do you have it on your book?
No, I don't. I still have Neil Magny.
I need lines, man. I need lines. Look, we might update this as the week goes on. If I see this anywhere near plus 2,000, I'm telling you right now, I'm putting a unit on it. You have to.
Yes. You never know. It's punch
two grown men going out there trying to inflict harm. And like I said, Luque is coming off a war with Brian Barberena. And, you know, your brain just doesn't recover from that. Let Prance come out here and shock the world, man. I'm selling my Prance. What I call him? Prance.
All right, yes,
I'll figure it out. Anyway, you know what? I'm not completely against this play. I'm not completely against it.
And it wasn't even one day notice. He signed a one fight contract.
I'm still seeing what day was everywhere.
It would have been.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he signed it today. Yeah. So I keep thinking we're recording this for Friday, but it's Tuesday. So, yeah, he had 5 days notice.
Just fought.
Signed his contract, one fight contract. Okay. Going to shock the world.
You know what? If it's plus 2,000, I'm putting a unit on it. I'm just saying it right now. If it's plus 2,000, I'm putting a unit on it. I just made a note right here. I'm going to keep an eye on it. Keeping an eye on it. Main event of the evening. Rafael Dos Anjos. Dos Nachos, as Colby Covington likes to call him. 28-11 taking on Kevin the Motown Phenom. I like to duck Gregor Gillespie. Kevin Lee. 17-4. And I'm torn on this fight, to be honest with you, man. I know you have an opinion on it, and I'm going to let you say it. I just want to tell the odds here. Kevin Lee -110. Dos Nachos. Dos Anjos at -120. So -110 coming back -120. Your thoughts on this fight?
So I think it's two different styles. Obviously Kevin Lee is going to want to take it down to the mat, and obviously RDA is going to want to stand and brawl. I think if RDA get his hands on him like Ia Quinta did, Kevin Lee is going to have a bad night. But I think moving up in the weight class is going to play to Kevin Lee's advantage. I don't like Kevin Lee at all. And it's mutual between us. It has a lot to do with him ducking our favorite fighter in the UFC.
If he ever wants it. If he ever wants it.
I'm taking Kevin Lee in this fight. That's my opinion. I think he'll be able to get his hands on RDA. And I think he'll be able to get him down. And
what's wild to me, in my opinion on this, how this is going to play out stylistically. And that's a very default answer, but I want to say a complex thing with it is that, you know, Al Iaquinta showed the recipe to beating Kevin Lee, and that is to stay in his face, have decent takedown defense, and keep hitting him. And you will beat Kevin Lee. You can break him. He does not have heart. He can be broken. Conversely, Colby Covington showed how to beat RDA, and that's you put a pace on him and you wrestle him and wrestle him and wrestle him and do not allow him the space to open up on you, which is what Kevin Lee's game plan is going to be. RDA's game plan is going to be to fight like Al Iaquinta, because he fights like a premium level Al Iaquinta. So what we have here is Kevin Lee versus essentially Al Iaquinta again. Or what we'll see when Colby Covington inevitably fights Al Iaquinta, which I think will be the fight to make because Cowboy is fighting Ferguson. So yet again, Colby Covington is standing on the outside, wondering what the hell he's going to do in the welterweight division with Cowboy now gone. So what do you do? Maybe have Al come up. Because Al's not getting a 155 title shot anytime soon, so why not have him move up? So,
So I think you run into we have all these guys that are interchangeable now with because what you have here is two 155ers that have gone up to 170 because there's nothing for them at 155. And now Iaquinta just got thrown in the same mix. So where is he going to go? What's he have to do? So what we have here is we just have a rehashing of a fight that already happened. So I think, this is really close to being a pick 'em here because both of these guys have fought 155ers that fight like common opponents, and they're now at 170 fighting like common opponents. So I really don't know. I just think that Kevin Lee has better power than Colby Covington. And if he's able to hit Dos Anjos as much as Colby Covington was able to, he's going to do more damage and actually get Dos Anjos out of there. So I think that as much as I don't like him, I think Kevin Lee is the better play here than Dos Anjos. So.
Yeah, I'm glad we agree. Yeah. I really am. Side note, not to get away from UFC, something incredible happened in baseball tonight. Chris Sale struck out 17 batters in 7 innings. He struck out, he got 17 Ks in 7 innings pitched. That's 17 out of 21 outs. That is just mind, and they're tied 4-4 in the bottom of the 10th because as soon as they pulled, he let up a 2-run homer. They were up 3-2. So 17 Ks and you get no support from your offense. It's just, that's got to be disheartening. But 17 in 7 innings.
Yeah.
That is insane. Yeah. Oh my God.
All right. So let's recap what we're taking as far as main card goes here. We're taking Kevin Lee at minus 110. We're also going to keep an eye on the Luque Krantz card or line rather. Taking Ian Heinisch at plus 160, mm-hmm. Megan Anderson at minus 155, Lentz at plus 270, and Davi Ramos inside the distance once that comes out. Cool with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Is this Aspen?
No, Ladd, Aspen Ladd.
Eubanks card. Is that Eubanks on the main card?
It's a good fight. Aspen Ladd looks like the world's toughest Waffle House waitress. And she's fighting Sajira Eubanks. That's going to be a good scrap, man. That's going to be a real good scrap. Des Green, Charles Jourdain's a good fight. There's a lot of fights that don't matter in here. Like, I mean, obviously, they're like every fight's the most important fight in, you know, ever to the guy that's in the cage. But a lot of these are just real trivial, middle of the pack. You know, if the rankings extended to 50, these are like 25 through 35 ranked guys fighting each other. You know, Zach Cummings taking on Trevin Giles. It's of no consequence to either one of those guys to lose. Nobody on this card is in danger of getting cut. Nobody. And the one person that is going to get cut after this card, Krantz, already knows that because he only signed a one fight deal. Unless he shocks the world. You're right. But
when he wins?
The world will be his oyster. You're right. All right. Let's recap some fights that got announced. Yes. Nate Diaz, Showtime Pettis. How do you feel about this? Taking place at 170 pounds. Looks like Anthony Pettis is going to try to reinvent himself as a welterweight.
Yeah. They need to have a blood bank on call because this, I'm not going to necessarily get my hopes up. If it happens, this is going to be a brawl, dude. I want him to just leg kick him into oblivion.
That's what I want. I just want leg kick after leg kick after leg kick.
Yeah.
You know, they keep talking about a bunch of bad blood between the two of them. Oh, we'll see. I hate when guys talk about how there's so much bad blood and then they don't actually fight. You know, things just get meh, whatever.
I don't know if that's something you have to worry about with Showtime, though. I really don't. I don't. He could be best friends with a dude or hate a guy.
He doesn't like. He's going to go out and fight Diaz, the same so exact that's way. Why he won't fight. Nobody.
Who does?
Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic, the rematch that should have been announced a long time ago has now been finally announced. Stipe's coming in at a plus 130 underdog. I love that. I like Stipe in that fight. We did.
And we went DC the first time too. So we're going back. We're going Stipe.
What's that?
Because you know what DC's not on his mind.
Oh. Daddy's
back. Daddy. Daddy's back. John Jones.
Which there has been movement on the John Jones, Tiago Santos line. Tiago Santos is now a plus 425. Still like that. You never know. You never know. And then I said something about it earlier. Cowboy taking on Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson's back. What do you think?
Another
Cowboy's
one.
Plus 150 on underdog call. In that fight. BT dubs.
Yeah, listen, we've been riding Cowboy throughout his win streak. I don't see it, man. Tony Ferguson's he's one of a kind. Mentally, physically, his fight game, that's going to be I don't understand.
Okay, let me ask you this.
For Tony Ferguson.
How does Tony Ferguson using with the skills he has, right? Cuz he's got horrible stand-up defense, which is why he bleeds constantly, because he's easy to hit. He doesn't have great takedowns, but he's got great jiu-jitsu once he gets you on the ground. How does he beat Cowboy? Because Cowboy's got great stand-up, and he's got good takedown defense. How does Tony Ferguson beat Cowboy? I'm just walk me through it, because I love Cowboy in this fight.
Yeah.
Because I think Tony Ferguson keeping his hands low, being easy to hit, I think this plays into Cowboy. I really think it does.
I don't think Cowboy's going to knock
Anthony
him out.
Pettis came real damn close. So did Edson Barboza.
He did. Anthony Pettis did. But that's what I'm saying. It's almost, I don't know. But in both those fights, in the Edson Barboza and Anthony Pettis fight, when he did get clipped, it was like a millisecond of being stunned, and he's back. He's so weird, man.
To prepare for.
I don't know. There's some kind of appeal.
I'll give you that.
It's weird.
Yeah. Dad Cowboy Cerrone scares me, man. That dad strength. His last two fights, he fought two big, strong dudes, and Alexander Hernandez and Ally Quinta. Hernandez is a freaking tank, man. That guy's built like a brick shit house, and Cowboy handled him. I don't know, man. I'm putting a pin on that fight, because I initially my knee jerk reaction was Tony Ferguson by murder. But the more I think about it, and again, it's recency bias, which is why I'm saying I'm going to come back to it, because the Cowboy just looks so great again in that Ia Quinta fight. I need to let it simmer. I got to let that simmer for a little bit, because that's a quick turnaround.
I guess Cowboy can go back and watch the Tony Ferguson Michael Johnson fight. Because if I recall correctly, Michael Johnson won
that
by unanimous.
That was the last time Tony Ferguson lost. You know what's crazy?
Yeah.
Is Michael Johnson has wins over Tony Ferguson, interim lightweight champ, and Dustin Poirier, current interim lightweight champ. Michael Johnson's beat both of them. He friggin' slept Poirier. Slept him. That pissed me off, too, because he got up doing that stupid money thing, like the freaking that Johnny Manziel money shit. Oh, man, I was so freaking mad after that fight, dude. Oh, this last.
Andy's got a win over Melvin Gallard, who's got the most knockouts.
No, Gallard never fought at middleweight. Get the
UFC
fuck out
middleweight
of here.
History. No. He fought in lightweight.
No, there's no
way. He's fighting
in
middleweight somewhere right now. Yes, he is. He's fighting middleweight in Ryzen. Yes, he is. But yeah, it's lightweight.
Real quick, we're hitting 41 minutes. Jessica Andrade almost crippled Rose. I thought she was crippled.
I'm glad you bring that up.
Yes.
You want to do me a favor and get ready to pat yourself on the back?
Ready.
I'm going to pat myself on the back too. So
okay,
we'll give this a listen real quick.
In that regard, I agree with you 100%. I think that the ground should not be an overlooked aspect of this, where
The ground should not be an overlooked aspect.
It wasn't overlooked at all. She spiked her on her face. Hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Oh, no. The ground played the biggest role in that fight. Dude.
Oh, boy. Hey, I'll take it, man. Listen, we were so high on Andrade in that fight, and I know it's fighting. I know anything can happen.
Yes.
But if there's a definition of getting bailed out, we got bailed out 100%.
Because yes, correct.
Rose was beating her ass for 7.5 minutes straight.
Yes.
Andrade almost lost her shoulder and her elbow the first time she tried to slam her.
A win is a win. Perfect on the main card.
A win's
card.
A win.
Jared Cannonier kicked Anderson Silva's leg in half. Good news, though. Anderson Silva not retiring. No ligament damage. Knee just sort of dislocated and came back in. So he's good. He'll be back, which everybody wants to see. Anderson. See, here's the thing about Anderson Silva. Still fast as shit. He looked good up until he didn't. He looked good. He's fast. He's still really fast. He fired those body kicks. They were fast, bro.
I think. He had to be so surprised. Yeah. Like Cannonier's plan of attack to come in there and just leg kick him. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think his first seven or eight strikes were leg kicks, and they were hard. I mean, they were hard.
Yep.
They were those ones that it wasn't like a slap. It was more a thud.
So, you know, Alexander Volkanovski beat the brakes off Jose Aldo, called that. Laureano Steropoli, bro, how entertaining is that guy taking off a unanimous decision over Thiago Alves? That was a great fight. That guy is really, really entertaining, and I think he's going to be a problem in the lightweight division. I would like to see him, even though he doesn't have the name for it yet, would love to see him against James Vick. I think that'd be a doozy of a fight. I think Steropoli versus James Vick's a fight to make.
I think stylistically,
they're similar in build, they're similar in height, and they both do the same thing really well, where Vic is a little bit more fundamental, Steropoli is a little bit more fancy, but you know you got two guys that are going to stand there and bang. I think that'd be a good fight. I would love to see Steropoli versus James Vic. And then Irene Aldana snatched Betch Correa's arm nearly off of her body in the third round. Betch, 2 years away, she might as well just go ahead and retire. It's a wrap for her. Irene Aldana looks good, man. Nog got sent into, hopefully, retirement. That dude should have retired a long time ago. Speaking of guys that should have retired a long time ago, BJ Penn, now sole owner of the longest losing streak in UFC history at 8 fights, thanks to unanimous decision loss to Clay Guida. So who didn't see that one coming? But BJ says that he has no plans to retire because he's not getting knocked out in these fights. He's losing decisions. Oh, my gosh. I can't. It's hard. It's hard, dude. It's really hard to defend people.
Silver linings. Point,
you know? Gosh. You know, collectively, outside of Gregor, my two favorite fighters in the UFC have lost 12 fights in a row. Cub.
Who's the other one?
Cub's lost 4. BJ lost 8. Yeah. So, I'm on a 0-12 amongst my favorites. And then, you know, the best part about it is prior to that, you know, Mark Hunt losing 3 in a row. So realistically, 0-15, Dale's favorite fighters in the UFC. Gotta love it. So anyway, all right, man, that's it. Dude, we're approaching an hour. That's a long ass episode. I want to give a shout out. Thanks. The show sponsors, Alpha Outpost. Dude, how cool is that, that Alpha Outpost box this week?
Yeah, so I got it today. It's their Castaway box. And, you know, obviously it is fishing season. So I get the box, I roll it over, you know, it's got a picture of big fish on it. I'm like, oh, sweet. You know, what am I going to get in here? Open it up. There is a collapsible rod with the reel that attaches to it. There's I don't know if you know what a Wallet Ninja is. Okay, so it's like a Wallet Ninja, but it's like hooks and lures. They're stainless steel metal hooks in like a Wallet Ninja form that you pop out. It came with a collapsible fishing chair. There is I guess it's like a neck gaiter.
Yep.
If you know what that, yeah, I mean, you were in the service, you know, what neck gaiter is. It's like a real lightweight, neck gaiter that came with it. There's a towel in there. I mean, these things are packed to the brim. One suggestion I have for everybody, they're packed so tightly with so much stuff in them. Once you take it out of the box, there's no getting everything back into the box. I mean, I tried today to get everything back in the box because I have all my Alpha Outpost boxes together. This is not the case, man. I could not figure out for the life of me how to get everything back in the box. Every month they surprise you. They send you unbelievable stuff. It also, you know, it came with the patch, which I have collected. I have a Velcro board that they're on there with like my unit patches from when I was in. I've got all those up together. But dude, it's awesome. I love it. I'm going to put good use out of that in the Lumberjack pack that they sent last month this summer. That's for sure.
If you don't currently subscribe to Alpha Outpost, your first box is only $5. So everything you just talked about, if you don't currently subscribe to Alpha Outpost, you can get everything you just talked about for $5. The only thing that we ask is when you go to alphaoutpost.com and sign up for it in the comment section, regard section, just say that you heard about it on our show. You know, because of that $5 first box deal, we don't have a promo code set up with them, but just to let them know that traffic's coming to them from us, that would be fantastic. And we appreciate that a lot. So just whenever the additional comments thing for shipping or anything like that, where you get the chance, just put it, hey, heard about this on Fistful of Cash podcast. That goes a long way. But you can get everything that you just said, Soup, for $5 if it's your first time ordering a box with them, which is ludicrous. That's wild. I mean, that's a great deal. So even if you just get that one and then cancel it after the fact, I'm not telling you to game the system, but if you wanted to game the system, that was a way you could do it. But anyway, so shout out to Alpha Outpost. Shout out to Stay Classy Meats. Use promo code FIST to get 10% off. Memorial Day is coming up. You've got until, Tuesday, till Thursday to order. And if you order by Thursday, you can get all your meat in time for Memorial Day. Use promo code FIST. Get 10% off your entire order. That's it, man. Saving Grace Oil Cash 20% off your CBD oil products. Dude, that's it, man. That's all I got. You got anything else? Is he really?
No. Chef Curry's cooking right now. Yeah, halfway through the third, he's 7 of 10 from deep. He's just
right
being Steph when KD's out. I mean, there's his ability to step up when KD's out is just stupid, and it solidifies my argument that Steph Curry is more important to the Warriors than Kevin Durant. Hot take: Steph Curry more important. Not saying better player, but I think he's more important to the Golden State Warriors system and the guys around him than Kevin Durant is. But yeah, he's cooking. He's got 28 points. Probably going to drop a 40 burger tonight. Dame and CJ are a combined 6 of 25. So yeah, Golden State's up 15. So there's that. Wouldn't surprise me if Golden State sweeps them. Probably winning 5. But Golden State versus Milwaukee, that's probably what's going to happen. And Boston is up 2-1 on Carolina, about to be up 3-0 in the series. So this is funny. Real quick.
All right.
Being a Penguins fan, Penguins get swept by the Islanders. Islanders then get swept by Carolina.
It certainly looks that way.
I think Carolina's then going to get swept by Boston. Yeah. And then Boston's going to go on and get swept by the San Jose Sharks, who I have a future on to win the Stanley Cup.
Let's get that going. All right. 10-1. Real quick, top countries. So let's get that going. The U.S., Canada, the U.K., Australia, Isle of Man, Germany, Hungary, New Zealand, Spain, the Cayman Islands, Ireland, Belize, and Guernsey. If I held a gun to your head, could you tell me where Guernsey's at?
Guernsey. Nope. Couldn't tell you how to spell it. I've never heard of it. So thank you for those who are listening in Guernsey. That's no disrespect to you guys by saying we don't know where it's at or how to spell it.
Victoria, British Columbia, Toronto. A lot of love in Canada. Appreciate you guys. Pittsburgh, Honolulu, Reno, Nevada, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Visalia, California, Manitoba, and Budapest. So Hungary, we did a ton of downloads in Hungary this week. I love it. All right. My countrymen coming to help me out. All right. That's it, man. That's all I got. I'm out.
talk to you guys throughout the week and on social media. And if you don't already subscribe to our Patreon, please do so. Patreon.com/FistfulOfCash. I'm out. See you.
As always, guys, clear eyes. Derek D-Rock Krantz can't lose.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.